This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod!
Welcome, Caps fans. How you guys doing? Is everybody on the East Coast dug out from that crazy storm? Feel like I'm in Winnipeg now. Welcome to What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. Joining me as always, his arm's really hurt. It's been shoveling out a lot, just like me. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
My arms don't hurt from shoveling.
What is it? What hurts more? Your feet, your legs, your head?
No, I'm good.
You're good?
You know? I'm good, dude. I shoveled out, let's see, Friday night, Saturday late morning, Saturday afternoon, Sunday morning, as well as helped shovel out a couple of neighbors.
And so you went out multiple times. You were
Yeah, quite a few.
Yeah. I waited till the storm was over, and we had a full 30 inches on the ground, and then I decided, hey, this would be the best time to go shovel the walk and shovel out the cars.
Poorly planned, my friend. Poorly planned.
What are you going to do? I mean, TV was right there.
You're going to shovel in advance next time.
Yeah, I mean, I had to dig my dog a hole to do her business, and she wasn't real happy about having just one spot to go. She likes the freedom of going all over the place. But here's key, man. All right, I don't know what it is like in your neighborhood. My neighborhood in Baltimore, there's no driveways or anything like that. We have street parking. And the whole thing, and everybody's like, oh, it's a Baltimore thing, but it's all over the place in the Northeast. You put a chair out to reserve your spot. So no, someone doesn't like just scoop in and take it after you shoveled out your whole walk. I don't like that. I don't do the whole chair thing. This is what I do. I shovel out so I can get to the outside of the road. I shovel out where my driver's side door is so I can open it. And then I shovel up in front of the car. And I just shovel out a big enough hole that I could leave and then parallel park when I get home. Because no one's going to parallel park. No one knows how to do that anymore. So it looks like I didn't shovel out my spot when I really did, but it's just a deterrent to get people to, you know, not park in my spot.
I have assigned spots, so I don't have an issue there so much. But it's definitely been a lot of shoveling and moving piles of white powdery stuff around. I feel all right. I feel okay.
That's good for you. Good for you. I went to work today. I think you had another day off. I don't know how many more.
I worked from home today.
You worked from home. Good. That's good. I could not do that. I had to go into work. Roads are still a little dicey. But you know who hasn't been to work for a couple days now? The Washington Capitals. Usually, Coach Dan and I will come on to What the Puck, and we'll talk about the games that we watched since the last time we spoke. That's zero games this week.
Yeah! It's back like the lockout. Woo!
We've been through lockouts. We've been through preseason. We've been through postseason. We've never done a podcast in season where there's no games in between to talk about. Let me ask you, what did you think of the postponements for Friday and Sunday? You think it was the right move?
Yeah, hell yeah, it was the right move.
Well, Sunday, of course. Idea. But, like, Friday...
No, Sunday was almost like would have... I mean, no one could have gotten there anyways, but it would have been safer in terms of people attempting to get to games. Like, if you live in D.C., you probably could have walked, and you probably would have been okay. But for anyone trying to go out that Friday while it was coming down, that would have been ridiculously unsafe. I mean, I got out early work on Friday. I left at noon. I ran an errand, and then I went to Chipotle. And so I got home between 1:30. I got there. I was surprisingly the line at Chipotle was not very long.
No one's going there anymore because the whole E. coli thing. I haven't been there since October.
I've been there like a week or so before, and there's a billion people in there.
All right.
People are like, bring it on, E. coli. I need my halfway decent food. But I figured it's the last time I'm going to get out for a couple of days. Might as well go and get some food. So I did that. I got home at 1:32, and right when I got home, it started to come down pretty good. So I think
you're closer to DC. So like it started a little bit earlier than everyone was expecting.
Well, we kept hearing different reports throughout the week in terms of when it was going to start. I know further south got it worse. So and the best call was to postpone both games. The problem now is going to be when they make them up. So like while it's a good thing for the Caps right now, it may be a bad thing later on because now their schedule is going to be very compact. At some point in the future in terms of when they're going to try and fit those games in. I think the Penguins is going to be easier because their team is closer. The odds of them being in the relative vicinity of the D.C. area not that close, but close enough that they can always make a detour and come here for, you know, if they're going to have a couple of days off, or if they even have like a 3-day break, they could throw a game in there at some point.
Yeah.
There are some rules with the NHL PA between the agreement between the PA and the NHL states that they have to have teams have to have a certain amount of days off each month. So it's going to be a little tricky. The Anaheim one though, that's going to be difficult to figure out. Like they have to find a big enough break where A, Anaheim's available, B, it's not going to take up one of their days off that they're allowed to have in the month, and C, nothing else is happening at Verizon Center.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one. Like you said, you know, the Pittsburgh Penguins, Washington Capitals, they might be, that one's going to be easier to fit in. But Anaheim, you got to think, you got to put in a travel day for those guys that are across the country. I mean, maybe fit it in if they're visiting, you know, Philadelphia, or if they're visiting Pittsburgh, you fit that in if the Capitals are home. And because the Capitals have had a weird schedule this season, because they've had a lot of like weeks where they have 5 days off in a row or something like that. So we might be able to fit it in there, but that one's going to be a little bit tricky. Do you think it's going to affect the Capitals poorly towards the end of the season, given the fact that, you know, everyone's kind of hunting for points, everybody is in the hunt to get into the playoffs, and now you have two teams. I mean, I have to imagine they're either going to be in the playoff race already, or they're going to be in the hunt of it, so there's going to be a little bit more to play for towards the end of the year. Is this going to be a bad thing for the Capitals down the stretch?
Depending on when they play those games. I mean, I was just looking at Anaheim's schedule and the Caps' schedule. There was almost a chance of February could work out, but because Anaheim is on the road, they're in Buffalo on the 24th of Wednesday. That's because that Monday and the following, and that's it. So they can't take 3 games in a row. They won't do that. No, I don't think it's going to hurt the team really in the end. I think it actually was a good thing that they have basically 8 days off, as long as no one got hurt shoveling, that they have a break. Anybody, I mean, throughout the season, guys have injuries, whether they're major ones to keep them out, Brooks Orpik, John Carlson, Jay Beagle, or if they're small ones that you don't really know about, there's little things that are bothering them. This extra break gave them time to heal up. It gave them a time to relax and get back into shape. Not back into shape per se, but like they gave them a chance to really heal up. So I'm not as concerned about it. I don't think it's going to affect them in the end, depending on when those games are. You could just throw the Anaheim one at the end of the season, I guess. You know, they bump back everything, and that technically is possible, and hopefully won't mean anything in the end. But I don't think it's going to a point where they're going to be like, you know, we just won't make up that game. Like, I feel like they have to at some point.
If I remember correctly, they had to make up a Pittsburgh Penguins-Boston Bruins game. They did it within, like, the first couple days of having to cancel because of the Boston Bomber a couple years ago, where they shut down Boston hunting down for these two guys. But if I remember correctly, that was, like, on a Thursday, and then they canceled that game, and then that Saturday they made it up. So, I mean, we're talking about it maybe at the end of the year, but it could be in the next couple maybe another week or two, because of course the All-Star game is coming up this weekend. A lot of guys will be having off for that, but who knows, we might see it earlier than we think.
I keep finding days that could work, but then one team would have to play 3 days in a row. Damn it, this is gonna be difficult for the NHL.
Yeah,
and we know they struggle with complex situations, so I mean, they're in New York and Boston. Wait, they come here on Monday, March 7th. Interesting. No, I can't do it. Damn it. How much like they're going to have Anaheim, where the Caps will have to move another game. Oh, no, wait. I was looking at the wrong schedule. We are in Anaheim then. Never mind. That clearly will not work. Why is that in black, though? That's their home. Okay, moving on. Oh, that's home. I see how this works now. Okay. That was very confusing. You think like that doesn't matter. Screw it. Anyways, so I don't know. It's gonna be tricky. I feel like the Penguins one is definitely easier to get, but the Anaheim one, that's gonna be difficult because it's across the freaking country.
Exactly. Now,
like, it's a 5-hour flight. It's like 5 hours, right? From DC to Anaheim, probably.
I've never taken that flight, but I assume, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I think it's like 5 hours, something like that. Then you got the time change. You know, if they play a game, like Anaheim's, the Caps and Anaheim both play their last game in April 9th or something like that. So they could do the next day. Anaheim's game is at 2:30 at home, so like you can play that game, fly out that night, and play the Caps the next day on Sunday. But you can do like a Sunday 7 o'clock game.
What if you do like a baseball type of thing? You play an afternoon and then an evening game.
You mean like, wait, which, oh, like an afternoon game one day and the next day play an evening game? You're talking like a back-to-back in the same day?
Well,
back, a doubleheader?
Yeah, like a doubleheader.
I'm not doing a doubleheader, you crazy?
I don't know. It could happen. Yeah, NHL's going to have to figure this out.
No, it's not. That'd be exhausting.
NHL have to figure it out. I'm glad we're not them. I don't know how you do this.
Yeah.
But look at this. The Capitals have last played on Tuesday, January 19th. They'll play again on Wednesday, January 27th. Then it's the All-Star game. So everything's shut down, and then they don't play again until February 2nd. That,
oh, the schedule is so stupid.
That's gonna be weird because, you know, the Caps started off this whole year strong. They've looked great this entire year, but given that much rest, I mean, that's got to be bad. Look, perfect example. Look at a guy like Mike Richards. He comes onto this team. He hasn't played professionally in 9 months. He finally gets his chance again. He's kind of getting to the groove with this new team. And then, boom, shut down. And he's got one game in, like, the span of 2 weeks that he's going to fight for some ice time here. That can't be good for a guy like him.
I don't know. It gives him more time to get into the system without having to play in competitive games. So it may not be the worst thing in the world. But in terms of him getting to play and then having to take a break, he loses that momentum. He loses sort of some of the energy that he had, or some of the energy going forward in terms of his understanding of the team. So, yeah, there's positives and negatives to the team in general and each one of the players missing out. So I think the biggest negative is going to be seeing when these games are going to be made up and how that will affect them going forward. And if they come after the trade deadline, then it's like, oh, well, the teams could be different. You know, you could have extra players that weren't necessarily going to play at that time. Now, if it comes down to that both teams – like 2-point swing doesn't matter either way, then it's not a big deal. You know, but if it's like the Caps are still fighting for a top spot in the Metropolitan Division or in the NHL, or if Anaheim's fighting to get into the playoffs in the Pacific, right? So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what they talk. Making a schedule in general seems like it's a freaking nightmare. Because you got all the teams and their arenas and any other arena that has another sporting event in it at the same time. Like, that's a nightmare. And then you have to make it up? Good luck.
Well, you got Caps, you got Wizards, you've got a plethora of concerts coming through town. I mean, Verizon Center isn't usually a dark place most of the week.
You could play a day game on a weekend if the Wizards have an evening game or vice versa, I believe.
That's true.
The ice is never very good, I think, if the Caps play an evening game after a Wizards game. But it's possible. We've seen it before in both ways where they've switched off. So I believe so. So it'll be. I know I've been to a Caps game that was in the early afternoon, and the Wizards were playing that night.
All right, so there's a chance that we could see that. Who knows?
Verizon Center could have a doubleheader. Just, you know, different sporting events.
Yeah. Sporting events. Like, is the circus coming to town? Disney on Ice or something like that? Or Garth Brooks? So he got canceled in Baltimore because of the snowstorm. So you've got there's so much stuff that could happen at Verizon Center. So you got to work with their schedule. You got to work with the NHL schedule, the Players Association. It's going to be a little rough. But anyway, so looking forward to the first game the Capitals have played in almost 2 weeks on the 27th, Caps Flyers. I'm reading that John Carlson might be making his return to the team. They're saying it's probable and possible that he returns. So this break might have been good for him.
Flyers?
It's against the Flyers, right?
Nah. See, if you know you're going to have this extra long break now that you're going into the All-Star game, give him the extra time. There's no risk. There's no need to get him out there and risk a potential re-injury in his first game back when you know you're going to have a longer break afterwards. I would not play him. I would give them the rest of that time off and then have him play in that first game in February against the suddenly dangerous Florida Panthers.
They are pretty dangerous.
I don't see the point in playing him and having him get injured or potentially re-injuring him, you know, whatever the problem was.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you want the guy to get back on the ice and do his thing, but at the same time, you don't want to have him back too soon. I kind of agree with you. If you do have that extra time, what's it going to hurt having him?
Why not take advantage of it?
Yeah, why not have him enjoy a couple more days off and rest up even more and make sure he's at 100% or as close to 100% as he can get to. Other thing we should talk about that happened, the Capitals are making history this year, and they are they have a record of, in their first 46 games, the record is 35-8-3, making the best start in franchise history. As well as tied for the best start in NHL history through any team's 46 first games in the NHL in terms of wins. So,
sorry, I'm done.
This is a special team. This is a very special team that we're watching this season, and they're doing very well. I mean, 35-8-3, that's an astounding record to hold right now. And like you said, it's many weeks ago. It's hard to talk about what to do with this team when they're doing so well. It's hard to talk about anything going on with the team because you're like, you know, they could switch this up, switch that up, but, you know, they're doing all right.
Yeah, I think the most impressive thing is the fact that they've had all these injuries to some bigger name players on their teams, especially defensively, and they're still on a roll. And I think a lot of credit goes to Barry Trotz and the coaching staff in terms of what they were able to do with apparently a very divided locker room after Adam Oates left. It was not a happy locker room. It was not a great place for people to be. And he's fixed that. The coaching staff has just fixed that problem, and now they're one big team working together and playing some phenomenal hockey going forward. Now, we've seen some of that before in the Boudreau era, so I think it's going to be very telling in the playoffs if this team has really turned the corner. And they've had some help. I mean, Montreal's been playing really bad lately, and they've lost Carey Price, and he's going to be out for another, I think, couple of weeks. So they've had some help with other teams playing like crap, but they are also playing some very good hockey, and they're not getting on themselves when they make mistakes and making the same mistakes over and over and over. Yeah, they had a crappy game against Buffalo, what now seems like forever ago, but because they've been hockey forever. But they're playing some great hockey. I mean, when you haven't played in 8 days and you're still double-digit lead in points against the second place, that's ridiculous. 14 points up on the Rangers, who are in second place in the Metropolitan. They are 12 points up on Florida for second in the Eastern Conference, and they've played two less games than them. They've played three less than the Rangers. They're also 3 points up on Chicago for number one in the NHL, and they've played six less games than them. That's ridiculous. So let's say they get points in all six of those games. They're just freaking flying ahead of everybody. And these teams are just – the Boudreau era, for the most part, was phenomenal in terms of offensive hockey. Yeah, it was fun. This is so much more fun because they're not just winning, but they're winning like all around. They're playing great goaltending. They're offensively doing very well for the most part. And defensively, they're very solid to the extent that when their top pairing guys both go down for a significant number of games, everyone else just steps up. You couldn't say that in the Boudreau era. When guys would go down defensively, the Boudreau era was like, so we just score more goals, right? Like, that's all we need to do. We don't have to worry about fixing the defense. All around, this team has been very solid, and they're playing very well.
Well, really, in the Boudreau era, it was like, oh, man, you got scored on. Oh, day over.
Guys, let's go home.
This is the worst. But now with Trotz, it's like, we just got scored on. We let one go. We need to get that back right now. You know, and then they completely.
How dare you score a goal on us?
Do you know who you're playing against?
That is against the rules.
All right, so you're talking about the trade deadline coming up. There's still a giant.
When is the trading deadline?
It's the end of February. I know that much. Okay. We still have a giant question mark on Brooks Orpik, and we don't know what they're going to do with defense. Even though they've looked okay, there is one name that has been everybody's been talking about.
God, I already know what you're going to say.
And we had somebody ask us on our Facebook page as well about this certain player. He's for the Winnipeg Jets, and
you know who I'm talking about.
You know who I'm talking about. So why don't you tell
Dustin
everybody?
Byfuglien.
There we go.
The former forward with the Chicago Blackhawks when they won one of their Stanley Cups. Then he got traded to Atlanta in their great purge after the Stanley Cup win. That being Chicago, now Atlanta. They didn't win anything because they sucked. And they had a stupid name in the Threshers. He went there. Now he's Winnipeg. He's going to be a free agent after the season. It's just – okay. So let's say you bring in Big Buff, as they call him. And then Orpik, I'm not proud of that. And then Orpik comes back. Who sits? Because you're going to have Orpik back with Carlson, likely. Alzar, Niskanen, I imagine, are staying together. So is it Schmidt that sits or Orlov?
I mean, Orlov has looked good. He hasn't looked great this season. So, if you're forced to sit one of those guys, I would sit Orlov. However, I'm not saying that's the best move to completely go through, because Orlov has looked has had some really great play this year, and he has to get better. And I like what he's done this year. But if you're giving me those choices, he's the one I think you'd have to sit. But I wouldn't if it was me.
It's a tough call. I think if you go out and want to make a move at the deadline and bring in a defenseman, I would bring in a guy that can be your 6th, 7th, or 8th defenseman.
Is there anybody? Is there anybody in the NHL that you got your eye on already that you could see as a possible 6th or 7th defenseman?
No. I mean, I have to go look at some teams like Buffalo, maybe Toronto, Columbus, like anybody that's sort of at the Winnipeg, anyone that's sort of struggling right now, not going to make the playoffs, maybe looking to move a couple of veteran guys out, like someone that can come in and, you know, he may not play every night, but can fit in. That's a better than Taylor Chorney. Someone that is, and Chorney's been playing great.
Chorney's look good. Like you're saying better than Chorney. I don't know if you're going to find that at the trade deadline. For the right price.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the other thing with Buffen. Like, what are you prepared to give up? Right. I'm not prepared to give up. I mean, if they want, like, Galiev and a second-round pick, I'll do that. Galiev, Carrick, and a second-round pick or a third. It's tempting. You know? Here's the thing. If they know Orpik's done for the season, like, he's out. He's not coming back. And the price is right, I make the move for Buffen. He's a free agent after the season. You know Orpik's going to be back eventually. You can make that move as long as he's not going to come in and cause problems. You go out and get Buffen or some guy that can fill in for Orpik. Like, it doesn't have to be Buffen.
Well, all right. So if, say, we don't trade for somebody, is the system of bringing up Hershey Bears, is that the best system for us? Because there is some talent down there.
They won't need to if everyone else can stay healthy. I mean, the only reason they're bringing up guys right now is because Carlson has been out. So once Carlson's back and he stays healthy, as long as no one else goes down, even with those guys going down, they're still filling in, you know, nicely. But I wouldn't mind going out and finding someone that can be, because the rosters, I might be thinking of the wrong sport, but I'm pretty sure the rosters expand at some point. So you can have more than just 3 healthy scratches up in the press box. So you have an opportunity after the trade deadline. You can bring in someone, and then if you don't play them every night as a veteran guy that maybe is an upgrade on Chorney or even on the same level, that way, if Carlson goes down, or if Niskanen needs a night off, or if some, knock on wood, or if anybody, you know, Schmidt or Orlov are playing poorly or have to take a game or two off, you have that guy you can fill in that probably didn't cost you quite as much. That may have only cost you a 4th or 5th round pick, as opposed to a guy like Buffen, who may be a bigger personality guy, someone who's going to come to the locker room. I don't think he's going to be like a Jonathan Papelbon with the Nationals, but he's going to be able to come in and improve the team while not costing them too much in the long run. If you think Orpik can come back, if he can't, that changes things. Then I think you could potentially make that move for Buffen, depending on what it costs, and if he's not going to be a pain in the you know what.
Yeah, so really, it all comes up.
Some information on Mr. Buffen.
It all comes up to Orpik and his health. If
his name is crazy spelling.
It
doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, BYFUGL.
All right, so he's 30. It looks like Bifuglian.
It does. Yes, it does.
Justin Bifuglian. He's 30 years old. He's turning 31 at the end of March.
Go 85.
Then again, you gave freaking Orpik a 17-year deal or whatever it was at his older age, so.
I don't know. I our GM, he's very aggressive. He goes after people. He doesn't hold back. You know, he's definitely.
I like that. It's a nice change of pace.
Yeah, that's very nice. So, I mean, if it has to be Orpik's call. If Orpik comes back from the doctors and say there's no chance, then I can see, you know, our GM.
The doctors can tell him whether there's no chance or not.
Right, yeah. And I can see the GM going, all right, let's go after this guy and bring him in. He's a rental. He'll be here until the end of the year and then out the door. But that's what it all depends on. It depends on Orpik right now, and what he can handle.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think going into the deadline, hold on, February calendar, 14 games in February. Thank you. 14 games in February. So let's say the deadline is like March 1st. When is the deadline? Do we know this specifically?
I don't know specifically.
NHL trade deadline 2016. Let's look it up. Thanks, Google. I don't know. It's not telling me. February 29th.
All right.
Wait. What day is that?
It's a leap year.
Okay. Monday. Is it usually on like a Tuesday?
I think it's a leap year this year.
That's... Yeah, but my point... Yeah, but it's still on a Monday. I thought they're normally on like Tuesdays or something. That's weird. Anyways, so, I mean, you have the entire month to look at things. Sort of see, they have 30 days to decide about Orpik, more or less. At that point, decide, like, you know, are they going to be prepared to make the tough call going forward in terms of, do you bring in a guy like a Byfuglien and then run the risk of having to sit Orlov or Schmidt or whoever the new guy is? Or do you go with someone that's sort of a back of the defensive core that can fill in when needed and maybe be an upgrade over Chorny? It all depends on Orpik right now.
Yeah.
Offensively, I don't see how they can make any moves. They basically made their move when they signed Mike Richards.
That's true.
That was their deadline move. Well, you could upgrade over Lotta, I guess. You can make a move to upgrade the fourth line. I don't see any way to upgrade the first two lines. You're not going to trade out Burakovsky. Johansson seems pretty set on third line, at least for right now. So
the only guy that you can potentially trade is Brooks Like, and that has nothing to do with his play. He has done very well this year, but it's all dollar signs. You know, if you got a fourth
line. If you move him. Well, okay, hold on. Where is he playing right now? Fourth line?
He's on the fourth line. He's got, like, you know, okay, so 12 minutes
a night.
They
play. Who are you going to play on the fourth line, though? I guess when you move Like out forward, probably be who you bring in and play on the fourth line.
Yeah.
It seems like Richards is kind of taking. Richards can play what Like has been doing in terms of, like, PK stuff.
Right.
So if you move him out.
You move him over, and then you have Beagle come back, and Beagle takes up the center spot on the fourth line. Yeah.
No, I think it'll put. Maybe they'll rotate him and Richards on the fourth line in terms of being the center, then one of them on the wing. And then with Lotta. That's not bad. You have Chimera, Johansson, and Wilson. Yeah. All right, I can do that.
Yeah, you're not going to move Johansson right now because he's doing so well at the third line center.
Yeah,
I'm talking
about the third line.
So like, you know, he's...
I could work.
But really, like, you would... Brooks Like would be... It's not, you're getting this guy. He would be the big price tag guy. So we would be getting somebody who's cheaper, might not play as well, but we'd also be getting draft picks and other stuff like that. Like
for Brooks, like right now, you're getting one of two things. You're either getting a guy who's similar to him in terms of the fact that he's not producing to what his contract states,
right?
Which would be unless he's at the end of his contract, which that would be the only reason I would make that move if you bring on that salary, just because you're going to have it gone at the end of the season. Whereas I think Like has another year or two. Otherwise, you bring in a guy who's not going to be very good. Like, you're not going to get a player that's going to be on your top two lines. You're not going to get a top four defenseman. So at that point, you're doing a salary jump to free up space for the future.
Yeah, that's why I think they would get rid of Brooks Like, and that's the only reason. He's played well on the fourth line. You know, he has looked good. He's just a giant price tag to be playing such a little time on the ice.
Straight him to L.A.
Yeah.
Make it easier for him.
Yeah, you got to check out his Instagram.
Woman's out there.
You got to check out his Instagram. He did a little droid work over the Potomac with all the snow.
Let's talk about after next season. That does make him more attractive to other teams because they only have, if they don't like his salary or the way he's playing next year, you could just move him out.
Right.
So that's interesting.
But that's you know, hearsay. We don't really know what they're going to do. And I think Barry Trotz is pretty happy
with
his team
right now. Well, it's all
speculation. Yeah. And I think Barry Trotz is pretty happy with his team right now. So I really don't know if they would do anything at all towards the trade deadline. The only thing is.
Let me ask you this question.
All right.
He is 30, according to General Fanager, he is 32. When the hell did Brooks Like get to be 32?
We all are getting older.
I still remember this team freaking acquired him. I feel like that was so recent. Good Lord. So, hold on. I'm double checking to see if that's
You're true. Old.
Right. 30. No, I'm not 32. I'm 31. I am younger than him.
I am Anyways.
30. Youngin. Anyways. So Leick's contract goes to next season with a cap hit of $4.5 million. Let's say the team hangs on to him. Mm-hmm. Would you re-sign him as an unrestricted free agent after next season? Obviously, in a lower contract or a lower salary cap. Would you do that?
No.
Ouch.
Honestly, what you do is, if not this year,
two years, $2 million.
If this year, if not this year or next year, what you do is you trade him so you get something back in return. Like, I hated the fact that our old GM just let
Seven.
Just let Semin go and got nothing in return. If you're going to do this with Brooks Leick and there's no reason for him to stick around and you can get something in return that's a little bit cheaper and has the same playing rate or whatever, then you do that. But, you know, just letting
you're not going to get the same thing for Leick that you would have potentially got for Semin.
Right. But if you let Leick go and you're like, listen, we want you to come back, but at a lower price range, that's not going to happen because he makes a good amount of money. A team that needs to restructure or whatever will pick him up. You know, I can see him going to some place like Edmonton or Nashville or
so to Edmonton, you can hang out with Hendricks.
Exactly, yeah. Who took a puck to the groin and left a dent.
Oh, God, yeah, that looked pretty bad.
That looks, my goodness, you know, I just didn't even know what to, oof, that hurt me. But that's what you got to do with Brooks. You know, Brooks is a solid.
He's got a lot of cap space.
Yeah, he's got a lot of talent, and you know, it's kind of wasted on the fourth line if he can go to a team that that needs to restructure, rebuild, maybe a Winnipeg Jets, even maybe a Buffalo Sabres, one of those teams where he can get more time. He'll be worth the price tag to those teams because he will be playing on the second line or the first. I mean, first time in a stretch for some teams, but. You can see him bumping up in a couple lines, playing more, and
it'd be like a Chris Clark was for the Capitals when they were rebuilding.
Right,
veteran guy that can come in, does the right things, plays the game the right way, and is able to teach the young guys. Right now, according to General Fanager, the Arizona Coyotes and the Winnipeg Jets have the most projected cap space. They have just over $11 million. Nashville, Buffalo have a decent amount of space, so these are got teams that could take him on. I don't know if Buffalo would. Arizona, potentially, if they're looking to – although they're doing pretty well right now. I mean, well, maybe not.
I mean, they took Martin Erat. They can't – they don't have really, you know – they'll take anyone.
I mean, let's see. I mean, they could – maybe. I don't know who the – they can give us Oliver Ekman-Larsson. We'll take him back. Yeah, right. I don't imagine they're going to want to do that. Yeah, no, I mean, it'll be interesting. He's like, Mahalan? Grossman? Maybe. Yeah, so there's teams that could potentially look into bringing him in, but that's a tough call.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens. And Brooksy probably won't be going anywhere this year, but we'll see what happens, and who knows. So last thing we got to talk about in Caps World before we jettison off to the farm, got to talk about the All-Star game. We got Alex Ovechkin, Nick Backstrom, Braden Holtby, and Barry Trotz all playing. Well, next up for Barry Trotz, he's coaching, but yes, all being a part of the All-Star Game experience this year around. It's a little different this year around. We've got 3-on-3, still got a skills competition. What does this mean for the Caps to have more than just Ovechkin going?
I think it's a nice recognition of how the team has done this year, and you could certainly look at other players and be like, why is Kuznetsov not there? But it's fine. As long as nobody gets hurt, I'm okay with the way things are going. I know it's a nice recognition of how the team has done this season.
And what do you think about Barry Trotz going back to Nashville for the All-Star game and coaching there? He has such a huge history with that town and with that hockey program. To have him come back, that's got to be it's got to feel good for him, and it's got to be good for the town to see him again.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a nice thing for him to be able to go back and coach in front of the same fans. And he left in a positive way. The team decided to let him go. They wanted to go in a different direction with the organization. It would sort of be like if Boudreau came back and coached an All-Star game in D.C. I imagine he would get a nice round of applause from the fans.
Sure, yeah.
And I expect the exact same thing for Trotz to be able to do. He's going to go back, probably go to some of the same restaurants that he'd been to before, maybe check out some of the old hangout spots in Nashville. I don't know. Listen to some country music, I guess. But yeah, it'll be nice. It's a nice little homecoming for him. But he might not get too comfortable.
No, because he's still going to come back to D.C. But all right, so the NHL All-Star Game experience should be fun this weekend. I kind of hate the fact that they took away the draft. And we're going to talk about it a little bit later in around the NHL about what they're putting in place instead of the draft, because I got something to say about that. But anything else we should talk about in Caps World?
Nope. We got a little stuff from the silliness from the snow. Nate Schmidt apparently joined in a snowball fight and climbed a snow mountain at one point. There's some pictures about that. And a news reporter, I forgot, it was for CBS, ABC, was at a gas station, I guess, talking to people about filling up in the storm or whatever else, and she ended up stumbling upon Alex Ovechkin.
As you do.
It's what happens. And, he thought it was – no, so he was laughing, and he was okay with it, and he said that he was they were filling up a gas tank, and I guess, and his car. It's a massive car. And he said he's there's not really – we said something like, this is – we have this in Russia. This is no big deal.
It's no big deal. This is just like this in Moscow.
He was filling up his snowblower so that he could go and, I guess, shovel out his – or blow out his neighbor's driveways.
Did you notice, though, that they had the gas can? One dude was holding it as Ovi was filling it up. That's a big no-no. Supposed to keep that gas tank, that little red thing, on the ground. You're not supposed to touch it while you're filling it up.
You're supposed to put it on the ground.
Yeah. So they were breaking the rules, but it's Ovi. It's what he does.
I think it'll be okay.
I thought it was great, though, because they walked up and they're like, oh, excuse me, and you're Alex Ovechkin, and this is not expected, and he just started cracking up. I'm glad that, for a very long time, Ovi was not smiling and having a good time, and you could tell something like this happens and he just kind of laughed it off. And
well, I think it was because they probably recognized each other. She was like, let's go talk to that. Wait a minute. That's Ovechkin. And she probably was like, oh, they're coming to talk to me. And it was too late for her to back out.
Yeah.
So then it was just probably funny. And she apologized and everyone was like, ha ha ha. Good times.
All right. So I think that's it for Caps World. We are going to go down on the farm. But before we do that, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, here we go. Going down on the farm, talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. I wore my Stingrays jersey while I was shoveling out the snow the other day. Very happy to support those guys. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, it looks like the Caps weren't the only ones who had some games that had to be postponed. But let's start in Hershey, where in the past week they went 1-0-1 with a win over Binghamton and an overtime loss to Lehigh Valley. The team also had their game from Sunday postponed. That'll be made up on February 10th. Their loss to Lehigh Valley, which was originally supposed to be played on Saturday, they got in on Monday. The Bears will be back at it on Wednesday in Albany, Friday in Syracuse, and Saturday at home against Syracuse. At Saturday's game, the first 4,000 fans will get a free knit hat.
All right.
I kind of want one.
Me too.
I want one of those hats. The AHL teams, they have better giveaways. Though not a lot. Only 4,000 fans. I think they can fit 10,000 into 10, the Giant Center or something like that. 10,000, 12,000. So I don't know. I want a hat. Somebody give me one. Down to South Carolina. They broke their losing streak. Yeah, with a win over Atlanta. But then they followed it up with a loss to Greenville.
Aww.
So, I guess can't have it all. Stingrays will be back at it on Friday and Saturday with back-to-back games against Norfolk or however the hell they say that. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Now, I don't know if you saw this or not, but last week, apparently Jacob Verana made his triumphant return to the Hershey Bears.
Dun, dun, dun.
He had been out, I think he had a broken wrist or something, and I don't think he did anything really of note, but it was just a big deal for him to come back and play. He was a big draft pick for two drafts ago, and
something like that.
And this is his first time in the U.S. playing. So he's back at it in the AHL playing with the Hershey Bears. So good to see him back on the ice. All right, guys. Now we've been down on the farm. Go Bears. Go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. We got plenty to talk about. The All-Star game is coming. We got people being suspended. We got all kinds of stuff going on. What is going on around the NHL?
Well, let's start in Tampa Bay, where the whole saga between the Lightning and Jonathan Drouin got a lot more interesting after the former third overall pick did not show up to play for the Syracuse Crunch's game against the Toronto Marlies. So Tampa suspended him indefinitely without pay. Drew's agent says, and I quote, "We propose to Tampa that Jonathan not play in the next few AHL games, but continue practicing with the club to avoid any potential injury from preventing an imminent trade. Unfortunately, the Tampa Bay Lightning refused this reasonable request. However, Jonathan was not willing to accept this risk." End quote. Hey, big guy, you have a contract. You have to honor it. If you want to be traded because your feelings have been hurt since you got sent down, then you play until you get moved. Tampa does not have to trade you if they don't want to. It's up to them. You signed a contract. You could have gone and been Eli Manning and put on the hat and whatever, the jersey, and then been like, "I want to be traded at the draft." You don't get to do it now and then sit and pout because you didn't get what you wanted, you freaking child. So, yeah, it looks like that's getting even more interesting. At this point, if you're Tampa, you're almost tempted to be like, "Screw you, buddy. We're not trading you this season." And just make him wait till the summer and get paid nothing for being a freaking little kid. Chicago signed general manager Stan Bowman to a 3-year extension. Bowman is currently in his 15th season working for the Blackhawks, though. Not all of those were as the GM. The Rangers signed veteran forward Daniel Paille to a 1-year two-way deal. Florida signed center Alexander Barkov to a 6-year extension. While financial terms were not disclosed, the Miami Herald reports it's worth $35.4 million. Anaheim forward Sean Horkoff has been suspended for 20 games for violating the terms of the NHL and NHLPA's performance-enhancing substances program. He came out and said that he was trying to recover from something, an injury or something over the summer. It took something that was no-no, and he got caught. And he puts it on him. He should have said he should have done better research, and now he's going to be having a seat. L.A. forward Milan Lucic was suspended. This is not news to anybody because Lucic is a dum-dum. He got suspended for one game for roughing Arizona defenseman Kevin Connaughton. Connaughton slashed Lucic on the hands while Lucic was fighting for the puck in front of the Coyotes' net. So Lucic had a point to get mad. And Connaughton got a penalty on the play. So Lucic responded after the whistle, which was like a definitely a couple seconds later. So he got slashed, kept going for the puck like you're supposed to do. Then they blew the whistle, and then he was like, "All right, my turn." He responded with a slash to the leg and a punch to the dude's head. I got that you're upset, man, and you had every right to be, but that's not the best way to respond. You got two options. One, you get in the dude's face and you talk trash, as you can do, or you rough him up with two hands. You don't deck him like you're in a freaking MMA match. Another option is you let it go, you score on the power play, and then you turn around and you point at him in the penalty box like Ilya Kovalchuk did to Crosby all those years ago. So those are your two options. He chose none of those. He's going to sit out for a game. And finally, in some entertaining news, Dallas defenseman John Klingberg got a burger named after him at the Stars Arena, which will be available during February. The burger consists of one-third pound beef patty. Is that how you say that word? I have no idea. Brandon, yes, no, maybe.
Yeah, it sounds good to me.
Yeah, that sounds good. One-third pound beef patty topped with cheddar cheese, Swedish secret sauce, which sounds kind of interesting and potentially inappropriate. Homemade quick pickles. I don't know what that means.
Quick crisp pickles? Bacon.
What the hell is a quick pickle? I don't know. Crisp bacon and shaved red onions and lettuce. And now I'm hungry. So that's awesome. Yeah, but now I want a hamburger. Thanks, guys. That's the news for the past week in the NHL.
All right, so let's talk about...
I have a question for you, Brandon, while we're on the food topic.
Okay.
If you were going to name some food item after a Washington Capitol, what would it be?
Oh, boy.
We'll put that out to the world, the podcasting world, too. If you have any ideas, send it our way.
I would go with a cereal and call them OVOs.
That's so lazy.
Yeah, it is.
That was so lazy.
Carlson Curly Fries. That's where you get curly fries and cheese and gravy and sriracha
sauce.
How
is that Carlson related to?
What? It's American.
That doesn't make any sense.
They're freedom. No, they're freedom fries.
No, shut up. That's terrible. All right, let's move on. Let's end the show. This didn't go quite the way I thought it would.
I'm trying to think of other stuff.
I don't know. I mean, you go for like, we have to name it after him, but like an interesting a food item that could be associated with him. Like, think of like a burger that's.
I just want a beer can koozie. That's what I want.
That's not food.
But it's.
Doesn't Russian Machine have that?
Yeah, they made it once. You had to give them like a. Money or something, as you do for products. But yeah, it was like a GoFundMe page or something. I don't know. I'm gonna have to think about this. But I gave you a cereal. I gave you some French fries.
We'll talk about next week if I remember to bring it up.
All right. So the NHL All-Star Game is coming up this weekend. It's always a lot of fun, but I'm gonna miss the fantasy draft because I miss Drunk Ovi. He was hilarious last year. And here's what they're replacing it with, okay? NHL All-Star Friday Night, live in Music City, a primetime television special featuring live roundtable discussion with NHL All-Star players and performances from top country music stars like the band Perry, Aaron Lewis, Kristen Bush, Big and Rich, John Hyatt, I think, and Lee Bryce. All right, I know there's a lot of people out there that are country music fans. I'm not being one of them, but and then it's also the show is led by Kimberly Perry of the band Perry and Catherine. I think her name is Tappan. She's on the NHL Network all the time. I don't know how to say her name. That's what they're doing Friday night for the NHL All-Star Game. So you're gonna have a bunch of All-Star players. Who aren't very talkative normally in interviews after games or whatever, talking whilst listening to country music. That sounds like the most boring show.
Yeah, a lot of Canadians. They like country music.
Oh, yeah, you know, there's a lot of Western Canadians out there that are cowboys and everything. And I understand why you're doing it. You're in Nashville. It's kind of like a big-time music city. I mean, that's the nickname. It's country. So I get all of that. But really, a round table, an hour-long round table discussion? Ugh. Just ugh. With a side of ugh. Like, ugh.
Tell us how you really feel.
Come on. Unless they're all eating and drinking and they're having fun and joking around and drunk, I'm not going to watch that. That sounds like the most boring show in the world. Ugh.
I might. I'm sure there'll be some funny stuff that happens.
They're better. There better be. You know, I want Ovi doing selfies with everyone. He's got to have a blue moon in his hand. But like, oh, that I like Aaron Lewis. I was a Stain fan. You know, I think it was Stained and Cold were my third or fourth concert ever, back in the day, and I love that concert. I still have hearing problems from that concert. I don't want to see Big and Rich. Like, when I think of hockey, I don't think of Big and Rich and the band Perry and stuff. I do think Nashville, so I understand why they did it, but ugh. Just, ugh. Not happy with that.
I think we all know that now.
All right, so let's go over the Caps schedule until we talk again. On Wednesday, January 27th, the Capitals are at home up against the Philadelphia Flyers. That game is at 8 o'clock because it is Wednesday night, rivalry night on NBC Sports. Then, after having a week and a half off, the Capitals have another 4 days off due to the NHL All-Star Game. If you are interested in...
they have 5 days off.
5 days off.
Five days off.
Okay, you're better at math than me. So here's what you can watch during the All-Star weekend. You can watch the stupid All-Star Friday Night Live in Music City concert. That is on Friday, January 29th.
You're going to be watching it too, aren't you?
I'm so watching it. You know I am.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'll probably forget.
I'll tweet how terrible it is. That showing is at 8 o'clock on Friday night on NBC Sports. And then on Saturday, the All-Star Skills Competition, the most fun about the All-Star weekend, begin on at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, live from Nashville. And then, let's see, that's on
the I imagine if someone's going to use a guitar.
Yes.
At some point,
the ball is in your court, NHL All-Star players, because I don't know if you're going to beat that KHL player who lit his stick on fire to
that do dude, his day. No, someone wanted to do that in the NHL a year ago, and he got shut down. They said no.
No fun. That's no fun.
Well, I think they wanted to be safe.
I guess you can get away with more.
Dangerous.
I mean, he held it away from himself. I mean, he's fine. It's whatever. Ball's in your court, NHL, because that was pretty cool. The KHL's beating you in skills competitions right now. So that is on Saturday, January 30th, and again, 7 o'clock is when you can watch that. And then the 2016 All-Star Game will start at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Sunday, January 31st. All of that on NBC Sports and the NHL Network will also be providing some coverage as well. Now back to just regular old Caps hockey. They will then play after the All-Star break on Tuesday, February 2nd, still at home, up against the very dangerous Florida Panthers, and that is a national game on the NBC Sports Network.
Very dangerous.
Very dangerous. Who would have ever thought that? So you got until we talk again. Two Caps games, a skills competition, an All-Star game, and a stupid country concert. Those are all the things you can watch until we record next week. So if you guys want to continue the conversation with Dan or I, we are both available on Twitter. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash, and Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also check out some of my old works and some of the fantastic new works at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which I'm going to guess, Brandon, you haven't gotten anybody anymore since last week since there's been no games.
Yep.
They want to make a good one. They will have a bobblehead of Slapshot, not Hattrick, that stupid little one, shoveling out snow. That'll be a great bobblehead. That would be freaking hilarious, by the way. That would be funny if they did that. Someone do that. Make a bobblehead of either a Caps player or Slapshot shoveling out snow. But that's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Go over to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Whenever a new podcast comes out, whether it be What the Puck or The Call or any photos or videos we decide to post, you will find them there. Go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast and on Twitter at WTP_podcast. Whenever we find a fun news story or something, if you guys want to talk to us through Facebook, we are available there. So like us there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Now, we do this show for free, and if some of you have cabin fever, we might be the only thing to listen to since there's no Caps hockey on for the last couple days. So maybe you're starved for it, all right? And we're doing this for free, and you guys listen, you stream, and you download for free. All we ask in return is that you please spread the word about What the Puck. Be proud of being a Caps fan. Write us an iTunes review, and also let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Periscope. Maybe you want to go live and just tell people you're listening to us via Periscope. Do it. Go ahead. I don't care. Do whatever you feel like it. Spread the word about the Caps. Let people know I'm a Caps fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. So there is no excuse. We're available everywhere. Desktop, Android, Kindle, iTunes, everywhere. iPhone, all over the place. Worldwide is what we're available. So, guys, it's been a little while. We're missing Caps hockey, but hopefully tomorrow, or if you're listening to this on the 27th, today, tonight, Caps do return to our television sets, and they're going to wipe the floor with who are we going against? The Flyers. That's right. We're going to wipe the floor with Philly.
Have they played the Flyers this year?
I don't think they have. I think.
I feel like we haven't talked about them at all.
Maybe not. Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know.
But anyway, so we might see the return of Michael Neuwirth to the Capitals, to the D.C. area.
Well, we have to have planned because we talked about this before.
Yeah, Nuvi versus Holpe. Who knows? But anyway, there we go. Everybody, have a great weekend. Enjoy the All-Star Game. Don't enjoy that country concert unless you like country. I mean, it's a big, it's a very big group of people that enjoy it. I'm just not one of them. But anyway, guys, have a great weekend. Hope everybody's safe and everything's okay with you and your family from this big winter storm. But say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.